This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Kick off NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today. Get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. All you got to do is place your first $5 bet. Sign up with promo code 2400 to get in on the action, and then you can turn game day into payday all season long. And the best part, take that $150 in free bets. There's big games every weekend, ones you'll have big opinions on, and you can get on your way. Play your way. Bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You name it, FanDuel's got more markets than anybody. You can even combine your bets for a chance of a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code 2400. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 and up in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Suicide is something that affects all of us. And we can all play a part in saving lives. Make a difference in your community by walking out of the darkness with us on Saturday, October 22nd at Arena Green West. Help spread awareness and understanding. Send the message that help is available. And raise funds for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Find a walk near you at afsp.org/walksfbayarea.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day, all Bills all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, everybody. Well, it got to 20-3 Baltimore. You were probably pretty annoyed, pretty frustrated. And then the Bills erased a 17-point deficit and won their third game of the season, 23-20, the final. I am Matt Bove with Channel 7 here in Buffalo, joined as always with my co-host, Sal Capaccio, Bills sideline reporter and beat reporter for WGR. Sal, man, what a roller coaster of emotions that game was, huh?
No doubt about it. It was pretty amazing being a part of it on the sidelines. Pretty intense down there. Lots of Bills fans in Baltimore. I'm already back home as we do this on Sunday night. I fly in the team charter. And last week, just the juxtaposition, I mean, my 8-year-old son basically cried himself to sleep. And then tonight, he's going crazy. Then he told me that when they were down, he didn't want to watch, so he cleaned his room. So you know what, Matt? I'm thinking maybe the Bills should just be down all the time so he gets his room clean, and then they come back and win, and everybody's happy.
Well, I remember growing up in Western New York, my dad used to tell me that when he would get nervous watching Bills games, he would take all of the laundry from the laundry room and put it in a big pile in the living room, and he would iron his clothes for the week standing there because he had so much like nervous energy that he just needed to do something with.
Yes.
So I don't think Max and my father are alone with kind of that, like having to get something done and trying to be productive while also dealing with the anxiety that comes with the Bills game.
Well, it was a lot of anxiety for sure for Bills fans, but can we finally put to rest the close one score game thing. I mean, that's one of the things that I thought about immediately after the game. And I know it's been a talking point, and it has to be, right? I mean, they were 0-7 in one score games, but we can finally put that to bed. As I said to you last week here, I think taken as a whole, it's a talking point. It's something you have to recognize. I think taken individually, there's all different reasons why each of those games didn't go their way. Well, this one went their way. It was a heck of a comeback. Matt, I did the research. It was tied for the ninth largest comeback in franchise history. They had 8 comebacks of 18 points or more, and a whole bunch, several of them, 17 points. And that's exactly what they had in this one, down 20-3. I would say, to me, you tell me if you agree with this, the turning point in the game was the final drive of the first half, punched in by Josh Allen. It just felt everything calmed down after that for the Bills.
Yeah, and I think that there are two really big plays that stand out to me, and that's the first one. It's the Isaiah McKenzie touchdown at the end of the first half that makes it a 20-10 game. And when you go into halftime only down 10 in a game when you really have no business even being around in, I think that gave the Bills a little extra juice, and that made them realize, like, okay, we have some life here. And then the other play, and we'll talk about this more later, the second Jordan Poyer interception changed everything for me. And I think it changed everything for the script of the game. I thought, like a lot of people probably did, it was second and goal from the 2. And you're like, okay, well, they're just going to get, it's honestly how I felt about the Bills last week in Miami when they got down to second and goal at the 2. I was like, okay, they're just going to, I'm just assuming touchdown at this point. And then the Jordan Poyer pick happens. And then at that point, right when they get the ball back, I'm like, they're going to score. I didn't really have any doubts that they were going to go down the field and score. And as we find out, they did. So a really impressive response, given the way they started the game. That does not mean that this was perfect. There are certainly concerns that we need to talk about. But overall, I think the Ravens are, like the Dolphins, a pretty good team. I think they're going to be a playoff team. It was on the road. The conditions weren't great. And they did enough to get a win, which I think is very important.
Yeah, we can discuss the big picture of this, but it was an AFC game. It's on the road, so obviously it has major implications. Let's walk through the game kind of chronologically, if we will. I would tell you that I think, Matt, the first part of this game, early Josh Allen, was maybe some of the worst Josh Allen we've seen. Early offense for the Bills, up until the 2-minute warning, essentially, of the first half, was maybe the worst offensive performance we've seen from this team in a long time. Why did this happen? I don't know. Pressing? Were they trying to just maybe go out there and prove a statement and say something about after that Miami game last week? And they were, you know, it just, like I said, pressing, I guess. I don't know the reason, but to me, it was some of the worst offense I've seen from this team in a long time.
Yeah, he threw Josh more balls that probably could have been intercepted or should have been intercepted than completions at one point. And it really, even the first completion that he had of the game, I think, was the pass to Diggs. It was a really nice catch by Diggs up the seam. I think it was like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. And that ultimately kind of got them into Ravens territory, and they eventually kicked a field goal to make it 7-3 right off the bat. But honestly, the entire first drive, the entire second drive, and then most of the first half, they just didn't look sharp until they got the ball back for the last drive of the first half. And that's when they turned it on. I don't know specifically what it was. I don't know if the pressure was getting to them a little bit. I don't know if the secondary was doing some stuff to disguise what they were doing and he was getting confused or what exactly happened. There were also a lot of drops. Drops are a weird, finicky thing because some people grade them different than other people do. But off the top of my head, I can think of at least one Jameson Crowder drop. I can think of multiple Gabe Davis drops. I can think of a Stephon Diggs drop that would have been a touchdown. They scored a couple of plays later, so it doesn't really matter. I can think of a Devin Singletary
James
drop.
Cook.
I can think of a James Cook drop. I mean, we just said like 6 drops.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, you're the better person to ask this because I'm up in the press box. It was raining. But it didn't seem like it was ever a monsoon.
No, it wasn't. But I think the issue is sometimes this is where I would say, hey, I don't know. Josh has sometimes one speed. Now he's known to have more than one speed. He can tone it down, but he was wired, I think, in this game. He was amped. He was ready to go, and he was firing it. And in that those conditions, Matt, you got to slow it down a little bit. You can't just fire the ball. It's a little too slick. I think some of those drops, a couple of them came because Josh was firing the ball in those slick conditions. And, you know, you have to know to give yourself, your guys, a chance to catch the ball. Now, he has the arm to go through the wind and the rain, and we know that. But you got to be able to catch it on the other end. So I think that's part of it. It was not a monsoon. It was wet. It didn't rain a lot of the game. But when it did, it was pretty steady. But honestly, I think it was more just because Josh was kind of throwing the heater out there and these guys couldn't catch it. Now, during the game, during the first part of the game, they have this horrible start to the offensive side. On defense, I'm not saying I give them a pass because they gave up some plays and some yards, but they were just put in a tough spot, I think, throughout the entire first half. I think once the offense started to calm down and do what they were supposed to do, it also, in a way, calmed down the defense because they were allowed to kind of start the Ravens off in a normal position instead of giving them the ball and being down.
I think the defense specifically, and it's something we have heard about this team for a long time for the last several years, but we haven't really used the phrase this year. For so long, the Bills defense was so good because of the whole bend but don't break mentality. And that's the exact thing of what we saw today, especially on that drive where the Ravens went 93 yards, I think, to get down to the position where they were second and goal from the two. And then Matt Milano explodes a play and tackles, I believe it was Dobbins in the backfield for like a 3-yard loss. Then they stop Lamar on a QB scramble up the middle to make it fourth and goal from the two. And then they force the interception to Poyer. That could have very, very easily been a 7-point Ravens lead. But instead, it was a tie game with the Bills having the ball at the 20-yard line. What's your take on that, by the way? Because I know a lot of Ravens fans are really upset that they didn't kick the field goal. I think I would have done the same thing. I think I would have went for it.
I think you're nuts. I think it was
really
the worst decision ever. It's a tie game.
Yeah.
It's a tie game. All you have to do is kick the field goal to go up, and you have about 5 minutes of time to defend. Not even 4 minutes and change to defend.
Uh-huh.
And either A, you know, sure, they can go down and score a touchdown. I do understand one part of John Harbaugh's thinking, which I can get to, but it still didn't make any sense to me. When they went for it from the Bills' perspective, Matt, I was happy. I'm like, okay, this is your chance to stop them and get the ball back. If they kick a field goal, you're down. All you have to do is line up. Justin Tucker's going to drill it. You're going to be down. You're going to have to score. There's a lot of things that have to go in your way, in your favor, in the rain to go down there and do that. I thought it was a horrible decision by John Harbaugh. So did Marcus Peters, by the way.
Oh my gosh. That was
after
crazy.
His coach when it was happening. And yeah. They went after his head coach at the end of it. Now, the one thing that I'll say about, you know, John Harbaugh, and we know he's aggressive. He's done these kinds of things before, going for two in certain situations. I understand that he's facing Josh Allen. So mm-hmm. Maybe he's thinking, if I get a field goal here, Josh Allen's going to score a touchdown. But to me, that shows no faith whatsoever in a defense that actually had already held the Bills to 20 points, even though that, you know, they were getting a little chewed up in the second half. I just thought it was a horrible decision. I'm sorry. I think that he deserves all the scorn he's getting from Ravens fans.
So my counterpoint, and I very much understand what you're saying, is, and we don't have to spend too much time on this because it really doesn't impact the Bills that much, but my counterpoint is Lamar Jackson is your best player, and I feel like you should always want the ball in your best hands player, the hands of your best player, and your defense this year has kind of sucked. Like today it was okay, but I don't think he trusts his defense. So when you're like, that says that you don't trust your defense, why should he trust his defense? They're not very good, like, at all.
Because they had a chance to take the lead with 4 minutes left.
Yeah, but they had a chance. Yeah, but they had a chance to take a 7-point lead with 4 minutes left.
Or I mean, nothing.
It's an easy
3-point lead by going for it. What's the chance of converting, right? It's a 2-point play. That's what it is. I mean, it's what, 50-50. 2-point plays are basically 50-50. You're right. You should always put the ball in your best player's hands when you're in a situation that you need a play. They didn't need a play there. They needed points. They needed to take the lead. It wasn't that they were down. They were tied. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I think it was horrible.
I mean, I think the only thing I would have done, I have no like firm, it was the right call, it was the wrong call. I think I would have played it differently if you knew you were going to go for it.
Well, maybe they did put the ball in Lamar's hands. They let him create, but there was nothing there.
There was nothing there. Like, and also on that play, I believe Shaq Lawson got held the entire time. The Bills got some very favorable calls in this matchup. So both teams did. There were a lot of missed calls. It was a really weird game. So it's not like that was the deciding factor, but yeah, no, it was a weird one. I would think that just like let Lamar run. Let Lamar scramble and do crazy stuff because usually that works. I sit there at times, I was watching this game and I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lamar is scrambling for 7 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards. And I just wonder, why don't they do that every play? I know that like eventually the defense makes adjustments, but even when the defense makes adjustments, it's hard to keep that guy inside, you know, the pocket. Like he is so dynamic.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute and how they did that. I want to wrap up this segment on that play though, still, because obviously
Poyer pick.
Yeah. You and I differ a little bit on, you know, whether or not they should have done it. I'm very much all in on horrible decision, wrong call, take the lead. You say, hey, I could see both sides of it more so. But what about the play by Jordan Poyer?
Unreal.
I mean, and not only what a great interception, you have to, obviously, people understand this, but I'm just going to explain it again. It wasn't just that they stopped him on fourth down. It flipped 18 yards of field position. So
huge.
The Bills, instead of being at their 2 yard line to start that drive, which I think was part of John Harbaugh's plan, right?
100%.
We don't get it. They're going to start the two. Now you start at the 20 yard line, only needing a field goal to win. That play by Jordan Poyer changed everything at the end of the game. And it was a second interception. All right, we'll take a quick break. And then let's talk about how they actually could or tried to stop Lamar Jackson. One name comes to mind. All right, Matt, I think Jordan Poyer has a very good look at AFC Defensive Player of the Week because he had two interceptions and one was big. But honestly, Matt Milano deserves a look at that too. He was insanely good on Sunday, 13 total tackles. Huh. And I would say what, maybe three, maybe four on Lamar, a couple in the open field on him. I mean, he was incredible in this game, earned his money today. I think Tremaine Edmonds was very good, but I think Matt Milano played a sensational football game.
I agree. I think that you would have, so here, let's do this. Who would be your Mount Rushmore? So your four guys on defense who you think had the strongest performances? Because I think there's three easy ones, and it's Poyer, Milano, and I think they're kind of a cut above everybody else. And then Tremaine Edmonds.
Yep.
Who else can we give a little bit of love to just to kind of round it out? Because there were some really standout performances there.
Well, I don't think here, I'm going to give it to this guy, not because he made a lot of plays, but because of what the Ravens weren't able to do against Taron Johnson. Matching Taron Johnson up against Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews had two catches.
Wow. All
day, two catches. And the Bills did not go to their base defense to defend him. They kept Taron Johnson, a nickel corner, undersized against Mark Andrews. He defended him. He had two catches all day.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about Mark Andrews a lot this week and his ability to completely take over a game. And also, we should also give some love to, especially like Dane Jackson comes back. There were times when, you know, they got beat, but Dane Jackson looked good and Elam looked good. And we knew Bateman and Duvernay are good players, but they're not wide receivers. They're not Hill and Waddle or anything like that. So I was always more confident with the corners going into this game than I was last week, or maybe that I will be even next week against the Steelers, because they've got some good wide receivers. But yeah, just the secondary as a whole did a fantastic job, because we talk about it. The Ravens scored 20 points. They didn't score any in the second half. One touchdown was from first and goal at like the 8 yard line or the 5 yard line to start the game. And the other one was a short field when Singletary fumbled it, right?
Yes. I mean,
they might have scored on the drive before that. It might have already been 14-3.
They got a field goal after Singletary fumbled, I believe it was.
So they scored a touchdown before that, and then they had the short fields to get the... So 10 of your 20 points, half of the points the Bills gave up were on short fields where they took it over in the Bills' territory.
Yeah, and I talked to, talked to Deion Dawkins in the locker room afterwards, and I said, what was the message at halftime? And he said the message was, we're doing this to us. Like, they're not doing it. We're doing this to us. And he specifically said, interception, fumble, three and out, three and out, three and out. We're stopping ourselves. And that's an old cliche in football, but it was true. He said, as long as we took ownership of that, essentially, and we put it on ourselves, everything would be fine. And it was fine after that. So defensively, I thought the Bills did a really good job. I'll give you a great stat, Matt. The Ravens came into this game with 10 pass plays of 20 yards or more, and 4 run plays of 20 yards or more in the season. They only had 2 plays total of 20 yards or more. Both were pass plays, no run plays. And one of those pass plays was that wild scramble from Lamar Jackson that somehow Duvernay came up with down the field for a 21-yard gain on 2nd and 19. So basically the Bills completely took away the big play from the big play Ravens. That's how they like to do things these days.
I also was impressed with Hamlin and how he slid in next to Poyer, because they can do some things. They would love to have Micah Hyde back out there. He would be a very welcomed player, you know, for everything that he does. But Hamlin's got a skill set, which is pretty interesting. So I'm really intrigued by how they're going to continue to use him moving forward.
Aren't you a little surprised that it was him over Jaquan Johnson?
Yeah, I was. And then honestly, I started to just talk with other people on the beat and read what people were saying and some of the reasoning behind it. And it's interesting. So I would have been more surprised a week ago than I was now, but I feel like this gives them a little bit of a similar feel to what they had when they had Jordan and Micah.
Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you, not to turn too negative here after a win, but a lot of times I looked out there and thought to myself, boy, it'd be nice to have Micah Hyde on the field right now. Without seeing 23, but give credit to number three, DeMar Hamlin. He did do a nice job. So real quick, let's just kind of wrap up what happened on the defensive end. You know, the Bills did, when you talk about contain Lamar, he did break loose a little bit. He did have his gains. That's going to happen against Lamar Jackson. He actually had 11 carries for 73 yards. Josh had 11 for 70. So the two quarterbacks kind of balance each other out when it came to running the football. But I thought there were times where they just overpushed it a little bit, over pursued, got out of their lanes. That's when he broke contain. But there were other times where I thought they did a nice job to string him out. I thought their tackling was good when they had a chance to tackle him other than one or two plays. And that's got to be a key. Matt Milano made a couple of those tackles in the backfield. You saw there was a sack. I think Vaughn got a sack. And then later, who got the other sack that was back there? But either way, I thought they
Rousseau,
thank you. I thought it was Rousseau half and DaQuan half. Yeah, there you go. And I thought that was how they had to do that. You know, you have to make sure you're a sure-handed tackler when you get around him and around the football.
You mentioned it a couple times in the podcast. We were so impressed after training camp with the Bills defense.
Yeah.
And despite the injuries and despite some of the mistakes that they've made, they have been so good this year. I mean, the most points they have given up in a game right now is 21 points. That's unbelievable.
Do you know what they've done in the second halves of games this year?
Well, let's see. The Rams would have been zero.
Yes.
The Titans would have been zero.
Correct.
The Ravens were zero today.
Yeah.
The Dolphins were, I want to go 4-for-4 on this. The Dolphins were seven.
7 points. You're great. Great job, buddy. Seven points given up in four games in the second halves of games.
Wow. That's impressive. It's impressive. It's impressive on its own as a standalone stat.
Yeah.
But when you consider who they've lost there and how many injuries they've dealt with, that is remarkable.
No doubt about it. And lots of the depth starting to shine through again, and Jamison Crowder gets hurt. Khalil Shakir steps up actually when he comes in for Jamison Crowder. So let's get to the offense here. All right, it's always game day in Buffalo. We'll answer a couple of questions here after this. Let's talk about the offense. Khalil Shakir steps up in the place of Jamison Crowder. You hope that he's going to be okay. And in the place of Isaiah McKenzie as well. Isaiah McKenzie with a concussion. We talked about Josh starting off slowly. I don't know what happened at halftime, but they made some adjustment to really get the running game going. Devin Singletary, 4.5 yards a carry. I thought he was a difference maker in the second half, both in the run and pass game. Quietly, close to 100 yards of total offense for Devin Singletary, Matt.
Yeah, I think the last drive, he really stood out. I mean, the play that's going to kind of be at the top of the list for me is the screen pass, where they hit him right off the, you know, snap the ball, throw it right to him. He gets all the way down. They actually said after the game, they told him, and this is just kudos to the Bills. It was a masterclass with the game clock management at the end of the, at the end of the second half. It was so good compared to some of the stuff we've seen the last couple weeks, but well, I guess just last week rather, but they told him, don't score, like get down there, give yourself a, just get down, don't get into the end zone. And then he had the nice run where they were trying to let him score, but he knew not to. And then they had the QB sneak. So yeah, I would say after the fumble, Devin Singletary really redeemed it. It wasn't just the fumble. It was a fumble and it was a drop, but he really redeemed himself because I don't get the Zach Moss thing. I've tried to make it make sense. I've tried to understand why they do it. It just doesn't feel like it ever gives them the spark that they're looking for.
And he had another run on third and one, the offense that I'm not going to put this on Zach Moss, but he did it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And if you're going to have him in as a power guy and whatever, you're going to expect to get some of those. They don't have much of a power game on third and fourth and short. They did convert one or two of those today, but that was really Josh Allen kind of leaking out a little bit and doing that, not going straight ahead. Devin Singletary also fumbled, not a good fumble by Devin Singletary. He got yanked out of the game. You already brought up the end of the game sequence. Let's talk about that. I'd like to do that. You're right. It was a great, great job by Sean McDermott. And I think what people might not realize, and McDermott talked about this after the game, he's got people upstairs telling him, talking to him, where the chains are, what the time is. Like, this is something he's in communication with. He gets with Josh. Josh knows what the situation is. They tell Devin Singletary. That's not said right when they get down to the 10. As you pointed out, Devin knew not to score even before that. They knew what the situation was. They played it perfectly so that they could score with no time left. They intentionally did not score. And how about the Ravens? They were trying to let him score. One guy didn't do it and made the tackle, and another one of the defenders kind of put his hands on his head like, oh, why did you do that? Why did you tackle him?
Uh-huh. And I will say, I want to point out one other kind of smart decision. It did not work for the Bills, but his answer to why they, were you in the press conference when he was asked about why they elected to receive the ball at the start of the half?
I wasn't there, but my guess is, let me guess, because it was going to rain. So they wanted to get up early if that was the case.
Exactly. He said, based off of the forecast that we had, we saw rain there coming up in the second and third quarter. We wanted to have a possession where we didn't think the rain was going to play a factor. It obviously didn't work out, but I think that reasoning is really, really smart. And that shows you how many layers there are to all of this. My thought when they did it was, well, they've scored 8 times in a row to start games with the ball on offense. Why not keep going? But when you have that kind of explanation, you're like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But just an offense in a whole night and day compared to the first, let's say, 27 minutes of the game, and then the final 33 minutes of the game, because they looked like the normal Bills on that final drive at the end of the first half when they scored the touchdown to Isaiah McKenzie. And then in the second half, I mean, they only scored 13 points. We're used to them putting up more, but given the conditions, given the, like, kind of the way the game played out, that's still pretty impressive. They did a good job.
Yeah, by the way, I'll say, I'm glad we got it, because we talked about it on the broadcast. What you just talked, I did not hear his response, but that we debated on the broadcast, why did they do that? And we figured, hey, it's because it's going to rain. And they think about this. I go back to the New England game last year. There was something else similar with the wind and the wind and the snow and all that that was going to happen, and how he thought through that. So it doesn't surprise me that Sean McDermott was thinking about it. Sometimes I think you can have paralysis by analysis, if you will, a little overanalysis, but I think it made sense. It was the right thing to do. It just didn't turn out right for the Bills, because obviously they started off and Josh threw an interception. Okay. So before we get to questions, we asked last week on this podcast, who are the Bills? We both agreed they're still the best team in the AFC, should be favored to win the Super Bowl. After today's win, I would like to kind of take it a different way, I guess. I mean, who are the Ravens? Who are the Dolphins? How close are they? After today, do you think that the Ravens and the Dolphins are closer to the Bills than what we thought they were, or Was today an indication, because of the way that the Bills kind of gave them everything and then came back to win, an indication that the Bills are still, there's still a pretty good gap between them and these teams?
I would say, I think right now the Dolphins are the better team than the Ravens. And I know they played each other and they did beat them, so you give them the nod there. But if you were going to have to play either one of these teams in the playoffs, I would be more scared to play the Ravens than I would to play the Dolphins. And I think a lot of that comes down to Lamar and just 100%. Having a dynamic game changer quarterback. So I think I think the Ravens are very similar to the Dolphins. I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're good enough to contend because I don't think their defense is great. And I don't think they have quite enough playmakers on offense outside of Lamar. But when you get to the playoffs and you've got a guy like that, there is certainly reason you always would have a chance. And I think the Bills, I know the question was about everybody else. I still think the Bills are the best or the second best team in the AFC. It's a toss up for me between them and Kansas City. I think both of those teams are going to be on a crash course to play each other again in the playoffs, probably deep in the playoffs. And it'll just be a matter of where it is, if it's in Orchard Park or if it's in Kansas City. So that's why, not to look too far ahead, the Bills are going to have to try and get a win against the Steelers, and you cannot write off the Steelers ever. Even when the Steelers aren't good, we have seen that they always kind of seem to hang around. But I am really intrigued by the matchup week 6 between the Bills and the Chiefs. And while I was talking about this, Patrick Mahomes just scored a ridiculous touchdown.
Okay, so I just went to Twitter because I was looking up some of these questions. I see people talking about it. I haven't seen it. I can't wait to see it.
He scrambled off to the right and then did a little spin juke move to get out of a tackle, and then just kind of flipped the ball up in the air like he was giving, like almost like laying up a basketball, and it went right over the defender's head into the, I think, Clyde Edwards-Helaire's hands. It was pretty spectacular.
So it's Edwards-Helaire's second touchdown then?
I believe so.
Let's see here. Yep, he's got two. He's got one running. So as people are listening to this, they're going to know the results of the game already. We know this in real time.
All right, it's 21-3 Kansas City.
The Bills were down 20-3 and they came back and won.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to lose this one.
I agree with you. The Buccaneers just can't move the ball on offense. And Tom Brady is just not the same quarterback right now. He is 5 of 6, as I tell you this, for 56 yards, but it's clear that that is not the same offense. All right, what do you have for some questions before we roll out of here?
Okay, so there's a lot of them. One of them is just, this is from Tom. Shakir earning more time, even assuming either McKenzie or Crowder can return? And I think it's a good question because he had two big plays in this game.
I'd like to see it. I still think it's good to have Jamison Crowder back as a return man. He's been good. He's a veteran. I don't know what the update on him is. I believe they had his ankle in an air cast, so that's never good. But Khalil Shakir needs to be on the field in some capacity. I agree with that.
This is from Mike. Will they elevate Tavon Austin or Isaiah Hodgins?
It's a great, great question. I would think maybe Tavon Austin is first, because the two guys you lost really are return men, right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Jamison Crowder and Isaiah McKenzie. So I don't know what your thought is, but mine is Tavon Austin is very much in play for next week now.
I agree. I am curious though, if they do want a little bit more size, depending on what they think of Gabe, because still Gabe Davis, he played again today, but it just doesn't seem like he's fully healthy.
Right.
At what point I wonder if they just say, hey, or if they ever get to that point, if they're like, hey, let's just give him a week off and see if that makes him better, or they figure something out. So if he wasn't available, then I would say Hodgins, because you don't have Kumaro either. But if Gabe is good to go, as is Diggs and Shakir, then I would say Tavon, because I think he's a little closer to the skill set of McKenzie and of Crowder. So that's just my opinion there. Let's see.
There was one, and I didn't see who wrote it. Somebody asked about re-signing Jordan Poyer, actually, because of the game he had and what's going on at the safety position. And Matt, I will tell you, I still don't necessarily see it happening for any sort of like long-term contract. I am starting to think a little more that maybe they get to the end of the year and they work out a 1-year deal and say, Jordan, we'd still love to have you. We just can't commit a lot of money to you. Let's get, you know, we'll get you at a 1-year deal. They move money around to be able to make it work, because he showed today how truly important he is to this team. And I think he would remain important to this team beyond 2022.
Here's a good one. This is from Nish. Do the Bills re-sign Tremaine Edmonds?
I don't know. I think these are questions that we still have a lot of weeks to remain, right? So yeah. I don't know. That's something we have to revisit back after like week 18.
I think that they really like, they love Matt Milano. They really like Terrell Bernard. But Tremaine Edmonds, he has this stick. Like, people think there's no one in the middle on Tremaine Edmonds. Either he's a great player or he's a terrible player. I think he's a very good player. I think he was a very good player today. I think he made a lot of plays, and everybody will be like, oh, well, he overcommitted at this one moment here, or he missed this one tackle here. Well, he's always around the ball. So there are more opportunities for him to either make big plays or to slip up. And I think today he made way more big plays than mess ups. Let's see. Here's a couple questions. This is a little one that I don't think you probably care about at all, but SpongeBob or Rugrats? That's from DJ. That's an easy SpongeBob.
Okay. No, so
no questions asked.
I do watch SpongeBob because Max watches SpongeBob. I didn't watch it myself, and I never watched Rugrats, and neither has he.
Well, SpongeBob, I still make SpongeBob references more than I'm willing to probably like to admit. This is a good one. I have to find it because I want to give them credit for asking it. Okay, well, I don't know what this person's name is. It's Food Additive Designer of the Year. What is the best appetizer at a restaurant, and why is it the free chips at Chili's? And I'm not going to say that's it. But what is your favorite appetizer? You can give me a specific restaurant and the dish, or you can just give me a type of appetizer that you can get at any place.
Okay. So first of all, let me start with, if I'm going out to a restaurant, I want bread beforehand. Like, that makes a difference what I think about the restaurant. If you give me bread before the meal,
100%.
My wife says to me, she'll laugh because, like, oh, they have bread, and she'll laugh. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's good. That means that the restaurant, yeah, that's what they should do. She could give me some bread. Now, if they want to give chips or something like that, that's fine. But I'm all into the bread, Italian bread with the dipping sauce, the oregano and the olive oil and all that. So I'm totally good with that. But that's not really an appetizer. I would say it doesn't matter where. Calamari is the best.
Yes, Sal. Yes, that's
calamari
a great
is
answer.
The best appetizer.
That's such a good answer.
Squeezing some lemon on it.
Yep. I'm glad you said it. That's what I was going to say. I don't count. I think some people will be like, why didn't you guys say wings? I don't necessarily count wings as an appetizer. You can eat wings as an appetizer, but I don't ever do that. Exactly. I think calamari is an exceptional answer there. That's what I was going to go with as well. Any other questions that you want to answer? Anything that you're sniffing through here?
Not from the viewers, but you had a chance. I'm down in the field. You're kind of poking around on the other games a little more than I am on Sunday. What struck you?
Well, I just actually watched an unbelievable catch from Mike Evans. So he just caught a touchdown. What struck me was
Jets Steelers, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Jets Steelers right now.
Are those going to face Pickett next week?
I don't think so. Cause he had three picks in the second half.
Okay.
So I don't think that I think they'll probably stick with Mitch. That's just kind of what I'm guessing,
right?
But we shall see. It makes this week that much more interesting. I was very surprised to see the Packers and the Patriots go into overtime. I did not see that coming, but I also don't think the Packers are that good. I think that says more about the Packers than it does about the Patriots.
I love it, Matt. I agree with you 100%.
And obviously we know my feelings about Aaron Rodgers, but I think when we went into the season, a lot of people had the Packers game circled on the calendar as a really tough one. And every game in the NFL is to an extent, but I think the Bills are a much better team than the Packers are, at least right now.
Yeah. The Jets winning was nice. That was cool to see Zach Wilson go in there and get even a touchdown catch. Is what he did, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that you saw that as well. That was really cool. I'm trying to think of some other games. How many points are the Bills going to score on the Lions when they play Thanksgiving?
It's going to be insane. That score today, 48-45, the Lions had 22 points in the fourth quarter.
Lions, right? That's what they do.
Yeah. The Colts stink too, by the way.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I feel if you're a fantasy football player and you drafted Jonathan Taylor had 20 rushes today for 42 yards, averaging 2 yards a carry.
Not nice, but nice. Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
I know.
What happened to them? I thought they were going to win that division.
Well, look, the AFC, I'll end this on big picture. As we sit here now, the Chiefs are winning. They're up 21-10 on the Bucs. We'll see how that turns out. If the Chiefs do wind up winning their game, Matt, there will only be three AFC teams with less than two losses: the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Bills. That's it. If the Chiefs lose, it's just the Dolphins and Bills. Yeah. Everybody else has at least two losses after 4 weeks, which is insane.
I feel like I remember this from looking at it last week. I don't think the Dolphins' schedule is incredibly difficult.
It's not coming up. It's not. But they also have the Tua issue and all the distraction around that. I'm curious to see how they handle all this.
Yeah. So they go Jet. I'll just read their next four: at the Jets, home Vikings, home Steelers, at the Lions. I think 3-1 would be the baseline there for how they get through those four games. So I think that they're going to be just hanging around. Maybe I'm wrong. A lot of that depends on Tua, but it's not like they handled that situation perfectly the first time. So I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to handle it right the second time.
We'll talk a lot more about the Bills and the Steelers on our next podcast, as well as the rest of the AFC. We thank you for listening now, and we hope you always do. We come at you twice a week, at least, here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Download it, subscribe it, throw us a nice rating, and you can do it wherever you want. I mean, you can get this podcast on your Apple iTunes platforms, on Spotify, through the Odyssey app, of course, and wherever else you pod. All right, Matt, so listen, you have a safe flight back to Buffalo. It's going to be a fun week getting ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers now that the Bills are back on the winning track. Mondays are always much better in Western New York when the Bills win, aren't they? We both know that.
Oh, they certainly are. And they're also much better when you're flying back from Baltimore and it's only like a 45-minute flight and you don't have a layover. I will be home and be back in bed, God willing, by like 9 a.m. tomorrow, which is...
Are you jealous that I'm already home?
Oh, you have no idea. I've already looked twice at trying to change my flight out tonight because our friends over at Wham in Rochester, Jenna and Mike, they're flying out tonight. And when I have the opportunity to leave the night of, I usually always take it. But for some reason, I didn't book that flight originally. I booked the early Monday morning one. And then in order to change it, it just was too much money. It was like, that doesn't
make sense.
So I'm gonna get my 4.5 hours of sleep in this little hotel here, and then I'll get some Jamba Juice at Baltimore Airport, BWI, great airport, love it, and then I'll be home.
Take your time, have a safe flight. It's nice having charter life and being back here already in Buffalo and getting ready. That way people can hear me on Monday morning. But by the time you listen to this, it's already probably Monday night or Tuesday. But we thank you either way, and no matter when you do. For Matt, I'm Sal. Thanks for joining us on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.